We'll get back to the questions and promise to Stu McClintock, he's the education reporter from the Daily Press, that I'd give him at least one more question, even after he was a mic hog. So, Stu, why don't you get us started?
At the beginning of the year, there were some concerns over the budget in one of the meetings I attended, and it seemed like there would be no wiggle room for anything to happen, and there were some proposed cuts made, and there was some consolidation of things. I guess as a board member going into the future, even with these state budget cuts, what would you plan on doing to help with the financial situation?
Jeez. All right. We'll begin by addressing that question to Gilbert Guadiana from position two.
I would look at a lot of the efficiency of the use of space in the buildings and making sure that we're shutting down areas that don't need to be heated, shutting down areas that are farther out on the perimeter rather than closer in, and making sure we can get some savings on those lines, looking at possible consolidations of different functions. One of the biggest concerns I have is the level of administrative costs. I would certainly put that up for consideration way before putting any of the other personnel, particularly teacher positions. I would want to see more of a movement towards teacher aides, which is a very inexpensive way to bring order to the classroom and have a, it's a better yield, it's a better bang for the buck. And so I would want to see it more spent more in the classroom and spent less on heating space that, or administrative costs that otherwise don't materialize into a better teaching environment.
That's Gilbert Guadiana. And his opponent in position two is Eloy Medina.
So I'm a big advocate for being budget conscientious. In my current position, I'm responsible for a budget. It's a significant size budget, and within my own job, you know, we're looking at some fiscal challenges right now, and I've become really good with budgets. My big priority as a school board member, and one of the major roles of a school board member, is budget. You know, they do work on three forums. They do have budget policy writing as well as a superintendent and. Being budget conscientious, making sure being able to work with a superintendent, overviewing the whole entire budget. I'm not quick to do cutbacks. That's never a resolution. I'd rather sit down, look at the budget, and look at some cost adjustments that we can make, rather than saying we don't need this, we don't need that, cut it, cut this, cut that. I disagree with that type of format. If we get to a point, we have to make education the priority. Instructional staff the priority, and then start looking at different avenues on how we can cut back. I know with the state coming forth, they have been asking school district for money back with the shortfalls within the state budget. And I've been able to sit down with some of the school administration, and the schools did have to give back some money. And that's one thing, is making sure that we are able to support that. If they do come back asking for a percentage of money, that we are able to do that. But my biggest goal would be to sit down with the superintendent, with the other school board members, and make sure that we are able to come to a good budget that serves everybody, making sure that education is the priority.
All right, that's Eloy Medina. We'll address the same question to Frank Gomez from position one.
Thank you. As far as the budget cuts and stuff, I think the most important thing, first of all, is the transparency between the superintendent, the school board, the finance director, and actually trying to figure out if the state is asking money, where are we going to cut? Of course, teachers' aides, all that falls under personnel, where the board doesn't intervene in that. That's the district's. The superintendent, him being the CEO, would make that decision if you're going to put an aide or a teacher. We control the budget as far as the monies, and not what teachers are going where and what aides are going anywhere. That's the superintendent's job, not ours. Do we look at it? Are we interested and concerned? Most definitely. The nice thing with us, and we did get a big budget cut and stuff like that, and we were able to bring the heads of the departments, the finance director, superintendent, the board did meet. And we were able to figure out what places we're going to go Do you shut down refrigerators that teachers have in their rooms or in their classrooms? Most definitely, if that's going to help to stop the cost of electricity and stuff like that. But it's a team effort. It's all a big team effort of what's being done between the board, the superintendent, the heads, and the finance director. And I'm glad to say that we've been very it's been transparent, and we work very collaborative with each other, and we've made that we've accomplished that mission.
Gomez, and we'll wrap this one up with Gabriel Amin for position three.
So I believe we need to look for efficiencies. Efficiencies with our facilities, with our energy use, internet versus hard copy books. We need to look for every avenue to find efficiencies, to save money, to get the most bang for our buck, to make sure that our students are successful. And that's what I'd be looking for, working with the other board members to find those efficiencies. With that, I would just say, we need to look for every opportunity so that we don't have to sacrifice the student-to-teacher ratio, which is so critical in our classrooms. And we need to push back. If we get a budget that isn't meeting our needs, we need to push back and express our concerns, show our deficiencies, and try to get more money.
All right, from position three, that's the other one. All right, we'll get back to questions from the audience here. We talked a lot about the state implementation of education. Here's a question about the federal government. How will you work to implement the new Every Student Succeeds Act, such as increased input from stakeholders, especially teachers? I'll begin by addressing this question to Frank Gomez from position one.
Can you repeat that question again, please?
Sure. How will you work to implement the new Every Student Succeeds Act, such as increased input from stakeholders, especially teachers?
First of all, how do we work it? Of course, we want to get the our teachers are the grunts of our education. They're down in the on the bottom. They're working with our children there. They're the ones that are going to be guiding our children and bringing them up to the next grades and so forth. So our teachers are very viable. Their information needs to be heard of what they think and what they need. And again, that's where the support comes. Again, with the administration, the director of curriculum, maintenance, and so forth, it becomes a team effort that we have every child, that we're here to educate and not to have any child come out of these loopholes that we weren't able to do it for them. But it's important that we work as a team from the school board down to our superintendent and getting all the input that they can to make sure that each child does succeed.
It's Frank Gomez, he's the incumbent and sole candidate in position one. In position two, one of the candidates is Eloy Medina.
So a federal mandate we're going to have to live by anyways. It's coming so forth. State and federal mandates are getting more and more strict when it comes to education. The way I look at this, especially when you're dealing with key stakeholders such as teachers, we need to work with an acronym called SWOT. We look at our strengths, our weaknesses, our opportunities, and our threats. And we let the teachers bring forth everything that they feel that affects the SWOT acronym. If they feel something is good, we need to analyze it. If they feel something is bad, we need to analyze it. We need to look at it across the board. Mr. Gomez calls them the grunts of the education field, and that's correct. They are the ones that are working with our children. They're the ones that are impacting their lives the most. Administration doesn't really have the impact as well as a teacher. When you look at a teacher, you don't remember who's running the school district when you were back in elementary, but they remember their third grade teachers. So we need to keep them happy. We need to make them, and once again, they are key stakeholders. And if we analyze and support them and their needs, it's going to make them more successful. I keep going back to successful teachers are going to make happy children. It becomes a morale issue. As a board member, it's going to be supporting the superintendent and analyzing it across the board. Standardization also touches this subject, where we can actually have we can get standardization from all teachers' levels and see what makes good for one and why it's not helping out the other. The school district being spread out, we need to help each other across the board. A third grade teacher in San Lorenzo should have the same opportunity as a third grade teacher here within the Bayard School District or the Bayard Elementary schools. So I think it's really important that we actually do respect them. But not only are teachers are the key stakeholders, we also have to look at non-instructional staff. We have to look at every employee within the school district and take them as the key instructional staff.
It's a good thing when federal mandates reflect a very positive reality, and bringing stakeholders into consideration is critical in the success of schools. And when we look at ourselves as board members and limit ourselves to the parameters of the three responsibilities, we overlook our greatest responsibilities, and that's to be the voice of teachers, to be the voice of parents, to be the voice of students. That is probably our most critical role. All the others are mechanics. But if we can see and support those pivotal partners and going way beyond, going out into the community and seeing how they feel the kids are succeeding in terms of being good good citizens, good neighbors, good role models for others, to be ready participants in labor forces when they join the workforce, to be involved in schools when they choose that path. All those people that serve our students afterwards are incredible stakeholders. And to bring them in is to bring in an incredible resource. To keep the doors closed as they are now is to limit the exposure to our kids and to limit ourselves from a resource that's right at our hands. And as a school board member, that's one of the things I mentioned early on, and it would be a big priority for me.
That's Philip Valiant, candidate for position two. And we'll wrap this one up with Gabriel O'Gee in position three.
So as far as implementing the federal mandate, Every Student Succeeds Act, I think we would need to take a look at the components of the act to really be able to answer that, in a comprehensive manner. We would see what we need to do to implement that. But as far as getting feedback from the stakeholders, which are the teachers, I believe that's critical. It's critical to learning. In my line of work, which is fire management, we've implemented after action reviews, we've implemented facilitated learning analysis, and all these are based on feedback from what we call the boots on the ground, which are the firefighters out there doing the work. So I would relate this to that, in that our teachers are our boots on the ground. And, if we're not taking feedback from those folks, we're missing a key link in improving our processes. Without their input, we don't know. There are front lines. We don't know what we need to change, what's working well, what isn't working well.
All right. Another audience question. How can you help ensure safety in our schools? And we'll begin by addressing that question to Gilbert Guadiana, candidate for position two.
Is this one?
No, it's that one.
There you go.
That is certainly the scariest question that we have to address, and we have to address that in a way that is doable. And one of the things I see with the schools, there was a lot of money spent in a system to secure doors, and for the most part, that is probably the most significant step I've seen. I've seen the use of sign-in stickers that one puts in when everybody knows everybody, and that kind of doesn't really yield a response. But certainly the preparedness, the emergency drills are, I know I hear my kids when they go through that, that it frightens them, but I assure them that that is probably one of the best ways to address safety at the schools from outside intruders. But there are other challenges that I think are going unmet, and that's safety within the schools, and that is drug use, violence within the schools. And I think that can be ratcheted up at least a couple of notches. There's some there's some issues where students have brought prescription drugs to school, not to mention illicit drugs. That really needs to be handled a little bit more forthright. Not that it's punitive in nature that I would want to see a response, but I would like to see a holistic response where we get resources to address their environments at home, as I mentioned earlier, and address the individual needs of that particular student, as well as the family environment.
Next up, his opponent in position two is Eli Medina.
I feel the best way to bring safety to the schools is awareness, awareness, awareness. We need to make everybody aware at all levels. If you guys are keeping up with the national trend, there is safety threats to schools nowadays. Back when we went back to school, the worst issue dealt with was a fist fight. Nowadays, if you look across the board, we're talking about an active shooter issue. Years ago, you didn't hear about active shooters. And now, you know, we're training our children to those levels. And that's a pretty significant issue regarding safety. I think it's going to have to start with more training within the schools, within the instructional and non-instructional staff. It has to start with teachers, it has to start with janitors, it has to start with front office personnel. They have to be able to recognize any potential threats. The other opportunity is when we do talk awareness, we do have to talk about if a teacher does see a significant change in a student, something does need to, pre-event intervention has to be done. A lot of times, those are things that we're not doing. We're not looking to intervene before it happens. But as soon as it does happen, we're quick to react, and we want to implement program after program. But at that time, you know, kids have already been affected or have been hurt. So I think the biggest issue we need to do is make everybody aware, starting with the instructional staff, non-instructional staff, front office personnel. And I do agree with Mr. Gordiana. The safety drills in the school, they can be intimidating to a child. Back then, I remember doing fire drills, and you ran outside and you talked to your parents about it. Nowadays, they're teaching kids how to barricade themselves within the classroom and talk about scaring a seven-year-old kid. That's pretty significant. But in the same sense, if we don't teach that and we don't make these children as well as the teachers aware of this, what is the impact when we do have an active shooter in a school? What is the effect? What is the outcome? And how does it affect our community? We talk about a small scenario to affect a child. It's only going to get worse.
All right. That's Eli Medina, candidate for position two. We'll move now to position three candidate, Gabriel Logan.
Oops.
Sorry.
That was a fist, right, Nick? That's what the fist looks like, right, Nick?
So the fact is the world has changed, and, you know, we're not just dealing with fist fights, and we are dealing with active shooters and extremists, and you know there are threats to our kids in our schools, and the only way to deal with that is preparedness. We have to do the active shooter drills. We have to teach our frontliners, everyone, all the staff in our schools, situational awareness, how to identify a threat and how to handle it in a fashion that they are handling it, and not, cutting out the drama, basically, and being able to deal with the situation and maintaining safety for our kids. So, I do agree with Gilbert in that there are other internal issues that we need to deal with. You know, there's bullying. There are, and we need to identify those issues early on and intervene quickly so that they don't get out of hand. So.
All right, that's Gabriel Logan. He's a lone candidate for position three. And we'll wrap this one up with Frank Gomez for position one.
So helping out on ensuring the safety issues in our school or our districts, I've been in law enforcement going close to 15 years now. And unfortunately, or the scary part of the situation in the district is it's not when the shooter's going to come, it's when it's going to happen. And unfortunately, with the reality of what's going on in our nation or in the world, we need to be prepared for it. And some of the things that the awareness
the training is so important, and it starts with our staff, our administration, of knowing what to do and training our children so they can react to it. Because all it is a big reaction. Some of the things I know that we've done in the past, I was part of the SWAT team, and we were able to bring Border Patrol, and we actually did an inactive shooter with the staff and administration before they started school. We also did that in the Silver schools. And it's important that it continues. It has to continue. The training never ends. The doing the drills never end. Unfortunately, there's so much training involved that you have to do this. But then again, you have your workload of what your curriculum or your lesson plans have to be completed. And do you have time for that or not? We talk about the narcotics and the drugs, or children that have problems, or using CYFD and stuff. There are different supportive groups there that are there to help, but it's all a process. Our schools start off with it. If it comes to law enforcement or CYFD, there's a whole process on it. So the most important thing is continue doing the awareness and the training and making sure children, our staff, everyone in our district is remain safe.
All right, that's Frank Gomez. He is the unopposed candidate for position one. All right. Audience question. Have you been following the school board's challenges these past several years? And what do you want to see changed in your tenure if you're elected? And we'll begin by addressing this question to Gabriel Wolking in position two.
Well, I believe some of the challenges the school board has been facing have been addressed with some of the questions you've already asked, you know, the budget cuts, testing, and I think we've, you know, we responded to some of those already. You know, I believe our some of the other issues facing us are, you know, some of our lower scores as far as testing goes, and I believe we have opportunity for improvement. And of course, challenges associated with that, you know, helping our kids to succeed, and also this new mandate. You know, that's going to be a challenge here in the future. Is Every Student Succeeds Act. We need to figure out how to implement that, how to respond to that, and you know, just look continuing to look for opportunities to help our kids to be successful.
All right. Gabriel will be position three. We'll address it to Frank Gomez, position one.
Thank you. As far as school board changes and stuff, with anything and everything that goes on, of course, there's money, and money is the evil of all. But yet, we need the money to continue when it comes to our books or whatever. If we're the monies that we have from our district, the state, and the federal government, and hopefully that we can find something that we're going to be able to get the monies that we need to strive on this. It's really important on the as far as the budgets. Again, as far as the school board member, House Bill 210, we don't get involved with personnel. And that's an actual law now that was passed before I came on the board in 2009. So there is no personnel that we get involved in by law. Would it be nice to get involved or at least to get more into it? Yes. I know the New Mexico School Boards Association in the past has advocated to try to pass the House bill, but it still hasn't happened, which would give the board more authority to get into other things. Thank you.
That's Frank Gomez, and we're moving
on
to the position two candidates, and Eloy
Medina. I try to read up on whenever there's a board meeting, I try to read up on either the minutes. I look at the agenda, I look at the minutes online, and you know, try to keep up as much as possible. Also, the press coverage it does, they actually do a really good job. Stu, thank you for that. And you know, they do a good job covering, so following up it does. I'm a real advocate for challenges and change. I love challenges. I look forward to them. The best thing that comes out of challenges are a good positive change. We keep working together. I really look forward to working with a new board. I think that always is a challenge within itself.
And once the board gets momentum and gets going, you know, we look forward to working with the superintendent and working. If you sit down, you look at businesses, hospitals, school boards, so forth. It's kind of a revolving door. March, April, May, June, we talk about budget shortfalls. Right after the new budgets are approved, we're okay for the next 6 months. You know, hiring time comes around, we start looking at personnel deficits and how we're going to address those and so forth. And there are some challenges with those. But I think staying positive within this board and making sure that we provide the right support to Mr. Mendoza and making sure that we give him every opportunity to succeed. I don't think there's any challenge that we can't face together and overcome it. I know that financial burdens are a challenge to everybody in this community right now, and we just keep going forward and we look for opportunity to improve our financial status. If that means grants or different types of fundings, we keep looking for them. But I do look forward to the challenges and the resolutions to those challenges.
That's
I look at the challenges that face the school board, and a lot of it has to do with the performance of the schools. And for that, there's been not as much success as I think even they themselves would like to have seen. I would like to move towards the area of accountability. I was fortunate enough to participate in the scheduling process for the business schools and attended a couple of school board meetings. Other than that, my knowledge of what's going on are the challenges that face the schools, and I haven't seen them successfully addressed. There is, I think, a level of accountability that should be stressed on improving the performance. The grades that we've been getting for such a long time can't be acceptable. And accepting the status quo and the harmony, I don't think will get us there. I think there needs to be, as a budget person myself, all budgets need to be tied to accountability. And that is an area for which performance needs to demonstrate its ability to have that effect. And then adjust to the shortcomings that it comes to. And I think the board needs to hold that level of accountability.
That's good for Guadiana. He is the candidate for position two. All right. We've got time for one more question. I think I'm going to turn it over and let Stu have the last one on behalf of the Daily Press. I hope it's a good one, Stu.
So there was a little controversy last year with some of the wrestling teams, and they were all trying to use the same kinds of facilities. It was wrestling programs, excuse me. And essentially what happened was the board said, you know, you've got to work that out with the schools. If there are conflicting groups that want to use facilities like that, how would you as a board member help facilitate those conversations to make sure everybody can use the facilities in Cobray as best you can?
All right, we'll begin by addressing that question to Frank Gomez, position one.
As far as the use of facilities at Cobray schools, we approve the facilities of that's going in. As a board, we don't go down and set limits and standards and this is what you're going to do and this is what you're not going to do. The superintendent or the business principal of that respected school is the one that takes care of that. The board, again, falls under personnel, which we don't get involved in personnel. We approve that it was allowed to go to that business. Now, if there's 2, 3, 4 different activities or anything that are going in, then it would be between that principal of that school or whatever facilities they're going to use to try to break it and make it well for everyone. Once it comes up to the school board, all we're doing is approving the use of the facility.
All right, that's Frank Gomez, position one. And the position two candidates, Gilbert Crociano.
I'm not familiar with the issue as it stands, and I know there are constraints that a board as a board member in involving in that level of detail, but as a board member, I would want to assure that I would want to have administration assure that there's fairness and that there's equal opportunity for those that are interested in that, and that would be a standard that I would hope that he or she would be able to maintain and demonstrate that fairness as representative of the board as well. What he does reflects on our character as well, or she, and it's a standard I would want to hold them to.
Let's go for Guadiana. Candidate for position two, his opponent is Eloy Medina.
I agree with Frank Gomez's take on it. The board is responsible for voting on the overall usage of the facilities when it's brought to them. The board does not intervene on who's going to get the opportunity. This issue was a big issue when the wrestling programs came forth. It was a significant issue within the community, within the press itself. Going down to that level now, you take into consideration these are our feeder programs. These youth programs are our feeder programs. And when you sit in these rooms, whether it's a wrestling room, a football field, a baseball field, or a basketball court, or even a band program, you listen to these coaches talk to these kids in these feeder programs, and they talk about listening to their parents, and they talk to them about being good kids and staying out of trouble and doing your homework, and if you don't have the grades, and some of these coaches within these youth programs, they even hold their kids accountable to grades, which is it's exceptional to say about that program director. When you get somebody come in and they're willing to offer that type of support, the best resolution I think we can come forth with is you get the program directors, you sit them in a room, and you figure out a schedule. You get everybody the same opportunity. It doesn't matter if they're Team A or Team B. You give everybody the opportunity because these are our kids. No matter what, these are our kids in our school district, whether they belong to Hurley, to San Lorenzo, to Central, to whoever they belong to, these are our children. And if we start to take away facilities from them, who are we hurting? We're not hurting the program director. The program director gets to go home and enjoy a night with his family. We're hurting these young children when they don't have the opportunity to go to youth basketball or youth wrestling. So I think the best thing we can do is actually sit down with them, figure out a schedule, and make sure that these feeder programs do succeed, because there is some success behind these programs.
From position two, we'll move to position three, and Gabriel.
So I have a lot of knowledge about this subject. As a youth wrestling coach, I think the school board handled it well. You know, they basically approved facility usage for all three teams, which is their role in this situation. And then the three coaches basically came together with the athletic director, and we're able to work out a schedule, including using the facility at Cobre and also at Snell. And it was successful. You know, it ended up just being a couple of teams versus having three teams. But we were able to work through, very cordially and have a good discussion on who was using the facility, what day of the week. And I think the AD handled it well, and so did the Cobre School Board.
Very good. That's Gabriel B. And from position three, and still have some great questions up here that I'm just not going to have time to get to, but some people have to get back to work. So I will we'll cut it off so we can get done here at 8 o'clock. I want to thank you all so much for your excellent answers to the questions, for being willing to be here tonight. I want to thank the audience for submitting the tremendous questions, and coming out on a blustery, wintry night to attend a school board forum. Really appreciate that. I think a round of applause is in order for everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to Cobre Schools for allowing us to use the facility here this evening. Again, I want to remind you, Election Day is coming up on February the 7th. Early voting going on at the County Clerk's Office until February 3rd. And there will be a full rundown of this evening's forum in the Daily Press tomorrow. Make sure you pick that up. And all of you candidates, I don't think we've had a candidate announcement from any of you in the paper. And so I just want to throw that out there. As much as we appreciate candidate advertising, and that's certainly an option too, you do get the little candidate announcement story with a picture for free. So you turn that in, we'll be happy to get it in the paper.
But,
all right. Without further ado, let's get to closing statements, and we'll do them in the reverse order that we did opening statements, which means position three, Gabriel Levine, you are up first.
Well, I guess in closing, you know, I ask for your support and to elect me to the school board and help me through this process. You know, I don't just want your vote. I want your support when throughout the school year, throughout the year, to help the school board make informed decisions and help us to do what's best for our kids. You know, I challenge the community to get more involved and to be that voice for your students out there.
All right, that's position three, Gabriel Levine. Before you pass the mic along, if folks want to get in touch with you, because this will be on the radio as well, how can constituents reach you?
Well, I would say the best way to reach me is by email, and I'll give out my email address. It's gilajumper@gmail.com. So that's gilajumper@gmail.com.
All right, very good. Yeah, that's Gabriel Levine, unopposed for position three. We'll move to the position two candidates now, and we'll begin with Eli Medina.
Okay. The way I look at the position on a school board, it's the opportunity to serve a community. And within that community means children. I feel that being given the opportunity to serve, we're gonna make the greatest impact on our kids and produce an amazing asset in the very end of it. I do wanna point out some key points that I look at upon myself, and these are kind of my driving forces. I'm very transparent. I don't have a problem. I'm very open about anything and everything. I do have an open door policy at work. In my personal life, I do have an open door policy. I'm willing to talk to anybody at any time. And I do really seek an opportunity to serve on this board. I'm really excited to see to work with the current board that's in place right now. I do think that I can help make an impact within that board as well. I've spoke to Mr. Mendoza a couple of times. And I really enjoy his company. I enjoy the conversations we've had, and I really look forward to talking to him a little bit more in the capacity of a school board member. I do want to make the greatest impact for the kids. Staff is important to me. Instructional and non-instructional staff, they are important to me. And I firmly believe that if we work hard together as a board, we can actually to make a big impact. I do ask for your support on February 7th. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to contact me. I will give you my cell phone. It's 575-956-3238. Feel free to contact me anytime, and I'll be open to any questions. Thank you, guys.
That's Eli Medina, candidate for position two for the school board. His opponent for position two, this is our one opposed race this year in the program, is Gilbert Fabiano.
I think this is a great honor to run for a school board in the sense of being able to affect education and having children in school that make it so valuable. I'd like to be a part of bringing the school in a direction that I think gets outside of it, of the traditional bounds. My experience outside of this area, I think, brings a certain level of new direction that the school can follow in collaboration with workforce preparation, with post-secondary consolidation in the school, which is already exists, but not to the level of career development pathways. I think that there are a number of opportunities to really get more into the trenches, as they've been referred to with the teachers, and having kids in the schools. You get to see that. And it shouldn't be an afterthought, and it shouldn't be a federal mandate. It should be the status quo, and I don't think it is. And it's a direction that I think what I bring to the table is the level of management that really involves a way to effect change. I've worked in an area where the budgets have been as large as over $100 million a year and as small as $18 million a year. So it's something that I'm very comfortable with, something that, as I've worked as a performance auditor for the legislature of California, and know how to establish corrective action steps and identify areas that need improvement, as well as compliance with state and federal regulations. And I thank you for this opportunity, and I thank you for support, and I wish success to everybody here, because it's what the kids are. My contact information is probably best my email, and that is my name, Gilbert Guadiana, and this is GilbertGuadiana at me.com. The me.com is an Apple, actually iCloud. It's a precursor to that.
Thanks. All right, that's Gilbert Guadiana. He's one of two candidates for position two in the school board. And we'll wrap things up with position one, our lone incumbent running unopposed, Frank Owens.
Thank you. And in closing, the bottom line here is, here this forum, first of all, thank you all for attending and stuff. Bottom line, from the school board, having this forum, our administration, our support staff, our teachers, it all involves our children. The best education that we can give them in a safe environment. And easier said than done, but this, in the support of giving our teachers, our staff members, the non-direct, our cafeteria, it's a big team, and we all got to work together. And we strive to doing that and getting the best for our children. I thank you guys for your support and keep rolling. The contact information for me would be my cell phone. It's 575-519-9779. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's Frank Gomez. He is unopposed for election to position one on the Cobra School Board. And that wraps it up. That's our forum. Thank you again so much for being here. And make sure you turn out and vote on February the 7th on the Silver City Daily Press Independent. I am publisher Nick Seidel. Have a great day.